start off our series on self-semester, and I thought we could focus on the Super Bowl to discuss the topic of Kuvia, precisely the topic from the other series on self-semester that I've previously done. It's very appropriate for Super Bowl. Just before this year, I Googled Super Bowl gambling, just to find, see the extent to which it has reached, and I found unbelievable things that you can bet on. It's incredible. You can bet, I'm sure you're aware of this, apparently you can bet that Kobe Bryant will score 4 more points on Saturday night than both teams together in the Super Bowl will score on Sunday. You can bet on anything. It's unbelievable. They have the odds about which offensive lineman is going to be called for the first holding penalty. It's 8-1 odds that it's going to be this guy or that guy. It's obviously something that, while we may not bet on that level, it's within the Orthodox community, there's a lot of money that changes hands on Super Bowl week. And besides obviously for Super Bowl gambling, there are a lot of different types of gambling, and a lot of people aren't aware of if there are any differences between them, what the halachos are associated with each type of gambling. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through the sugya. At the end of the misafik, because the sugya, I want to go through issue by issue, meaning there's obviously poker, which is a very popular form of gambling, slot machines, which I will confess we were away in Connecticut last week. But Alana said to me, it's in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning, before we go home, I want to go see the nice stores around Mohegan Sun. I thought that's a casino. No, there are a lot of nice stores there. So we go in there, and I was amazed by what I saw. First of all, that there were people there at 10 o'clock in the morning. Gambling, what to do.
They didn't know.
Yeah, probably. But just the slot machines that seem very popular just because there are thousands of them. So that's another thing we're going to have to discuss. Internet poker, maybe even the regular poker. Another very popular form of gambling apparently is which you can argue we can discuss it is fantasy leagues where there's money that changes hands. Why is it or is it not gambling? I mean, what's the issue over there? Why is buying lottery tickets okay? Or is buying lottery tickets okay? What about raffles? Were the shuls going to be having raffles at our Motzei Shabbos event? Why is that okay? Isn't that also a form of gambling? I'm putting in money, and a little bit of money, on the hopes that I win the big, gigantic prize. I don't know how big the prize is. I hope that I win some sort of prize that's more valuable than the money I'm putting in. So I want to just go through the sugya. And please, if you have some input over here, and if you feel like I'm misunderstanding something along the way, I encourage the floor to be open for questions or for comments, because I don't think I'm missing anything here. But if you feel like I'm missing something in terms of the lumbus, in terms of understanding something, in terms of how the post can deal with it, my general concern is looking around. These brief articles that people write on gambling and halacha is that it's very easy to say that there's a simple sugya with one simple machlokas, and we'll see how we pass on that machlokas, and that way it's a closed case. But that's not the way to pass on halacha. You don't just look at one gemara with one machlokas and say, okay, it's a closed case. There's a lot of nuance in the psak halacha itself that people tend to miss. There was one article that I noticed has been pretty wide. I don't think people gamble because they read Torah articles that say it's mutter. But just saying that there's one article that I know that was pretty widely read that I think was, I wouldn't call it grossly inaccurate, but it was grossly lacking. It certainly missed some of the lumbus from the sugya. So I just want to go through, again, starting with the Gemara, going to some of the basic Rishonim, and then going through the different types of gambling and the different types of betting and how each of them are affected by the Psak Halakha. And then maybe at the end we'll discuss some Hashkafta issues as well. But I really want to keep it to the Halakha because normally when I have been asked a few times whether gambling is mutter, and almost every time I'm asked, I'm told to leave Hashkafta out of it because people aren't interested. They want to know technically, is it mutter or is it usher? So let's first do whether it's mutter or usher, and then maybe we'll discuss some Hashkafta points. And again, if anyone knows any sources that I don't know, I just read something. There is one source apparently. There was a community once. There were many communities you find in history historically that had outlawed gambling. They thought it got out of hand. Jewish communities that just put bans on all forms of gambling. And there was one rabbi that wrote a tshuva blasting one of these communities, like, there you outlaw gambling, and they, one of the historians wrote up a whole biography on this guy, that he was an addicted gambler. He got fired from job after job because he was gambling all his money away. So he writes the truth that he's a blasting gambler. Anyway, but I would ask if you know of any other sources, certainly feel free to interject, or if any alumnus that you could think through, to certainly feel free to interject. Again, let's start with the beginning. The beginning of the sugi is obviously the Mishnah Masechet Sanhedrin, about Kof Daled on the base. Source number one on the sheet, the Mishnah says, discussing those people are Pasul Eidos. Obviously, being Pasul Eidos sometimes is a bad thing, sometimes isn't a bad thing. Right? I'm Pasul Eidos to be made at my own son's wedding, right? Because not because I'm a bad guy, but because I'm his father, right? So that's not a bad kind of Pasul Eidos. Then there are those who are Pasul Eidos because they've got nothing. They're Pasul Eidos because they do various averos. So the Mishnah says, the Eidos of Suma following a Pasul Eidos. I'm a Sachet Bukovia. That's the critical one for now. One who plays with dice. One who plays a game with dice, but apparently there's money involved. Right, and if the dice roll the right way, I win the money. Now, Malchus Brudis goes on to say, other Yisroel where I take, where I get money that I shouldn't be able to get. I'm lending money with interest, not allowed to do that, that's the Mishnah Dereitza. The Gemara asks, wait a second, that's the Mishnah Dereitza, why doesn't even have to say it? Whatever, we're not going to get into all the other ones. Mafricha Yomim, the Gemara says, may also be a form of gambling. Mafricha Yomim is a discussion in the Gemara exactly what it is. It may be pigeon races. Apparently, horse racing is too expensive, so the little evil of me to something to entertain them. So pigeons they always had, so they were cats, I don't know how to call them, but they were cats and pigeons, and they would tie their wings together and they would race them. If they were pigeons, they would have to hop along. And they would place money on the pigeon racing. So that's at least one sheet in the Gemara exactly what it is. So the Gemara has a discussion, what exactly is wrong with Misafik Bekuvia? Not necessarily wrong. What makes you possible Eidos just because you are Misafik Bekuvia, just because you play with these dice? So says the Gemara, Misafik Bekuvia, Micah Ovid. What did you do if you were Misafik Bekuvia? Big deal, you're just playing the game. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Bar Chama, first sheet in the Gemara, Mishum Dahava Asmachta, the Asmachta Lo Tanya. This is what we call Asmachta. Asmachta means that you are putting something, you are entering into an agreement with the chance of having to pay money in the future, with the chance of having to lose money in the future or gain money in the future. It's very speculative. And when you do that, we assume that you didn't really mean to enter into the kinyan. You hope that it would never come to it. We're going to go through what the examples that we know for sure are asmachta, are cases of asmachta that come up throughout Shas. There are three cases in Shas that we know for sure are counted as asmachta. But basically, you're hoping that it doesn't come to the fact that you have to pay money. And if you do pay the money, then it's asmachta that you don't really want to have to pay it. And therefore, the way we pack the mahalakha is asmachta lo kanya. That's not a valid form of kinyan. When you take money from somebody and they're only paying it because of asmachta, you're stealing from that person. So if the person didn't want to give the money, and you're saying, even if they're saying, I know, I agree to it, and therefore I'm giving the money, and I'm giving it wholeheartedly, it doesn't matter what their svara is, and this thing is something very important when we go through the sugya. We can have a svara, but we can't have a svara that argues on the svara of Shah. I mean, if there's a Gemara and Amoran have a Svara, we can't argue on their Svara. We have to accept that that's a halakhic reality. The halakhic reality is that a person who enters into an agreement that it's speculative and he doesn't expect to have to pay, so when he does actually pay, that's called a smachta, where he does, even though he knows he feels ethically obligated to give the money, but it's called asmachta, and therefore it's stealing from the person when you take the money from him. That's on the Darabanan level. It's not stealing Midaraisa, it's stealing Midarabanan. That's the rule of asmachta. So the first sheet of the Gemara is very simple, straightforward. When you're Misafik Bekuvia, when you play with dice, you play games with dice, with money riding on it, so that's called asmachta. Yeah, asmachta, look on you. And asmachta is not kona, it's not a valid form of kinyan, it's stealing midrabanan. Rav Sheshe Salmar, but Rav Sheshe says no. Kol ki agav malav asmachta hi. Give me a break, he says, gambling is not an example of asmachta. Ella, you know why a gambler can't be made? Lefisha ein asukim bi yeshuva shalolam. You know why a gambler can't be made? Because if all he does his whole life is gamble, he has no idea how reality works. He has no idea how real life works. He's not unsafe the issue of Shalom. He's not doing anything productive in the world. And as such, he has no idea about the value of money. He doesn't really know for a gambler. He's up $10,000 in this minute, down $10,000 in that minute, and it doesn't mean anything to him. It's all so fluid. It doesn't really mean anything to him. He doesn't understand what the value of work is. He doesn't understand these things and how real life works. And that's why he can't be made. What's he going to be made on? Be made? He doesn't view it as a big deal. He doesn't think it matters that much because he doesn't understand how life really works. So the Gemara says, well, my Benai, what difference does it make why a gambler is possible, whether it's because he's a thief, neither Adonan, or because he's not open to Yeshua Shalom. Either way, like we say, he's not winning the Tzaddik of the Year award. Either way, it's not a good thing. So the Gemara says, well, Ika Benai, the government must ask Kriti. What if the guy's not a professional gambler? It's not all he does. Right? There are people who, you know, by profession, do these crazy things, but professionally, they do these things that are just completely useless professions. A professional gambler. I just heard on the radio, there's a guy who's a professional video game player. He has this video game tournament, and he wins a lot of money, and they say, interview him, they said, didn't your parents ever tell you that playing video games isn't going to get you anywhere in the world? He goes, yeah, I showed them. You showed them. I mean, people just, there's nothing like that. It's unbelievable. But if that's what the person is up to, so then in a phenomenon, there wouldn't be enough to meet. But if it's a person who just gambles on occasion, but he has a job, he has a real job, and he works for a living, so such a person, obviously, you can't say he's not mostly future for Shalom. He pays a mortgage, he has a family, he goes to work every day. He understands the value of money. Yeah, he goes for a weekend to Vegas, but to Atlantic City, he lets loose a little bit. It's Connecticut, apparently, wherever, and just to relax a little bit. And he puts limits on himself, and he understands that it's not someone who's not Osei Pi Yeshuva Shalom. So there's the Nachtamina, right? Meaning, how are we going to pass in here? If we pass in like Rami Bar Kama, and this is the simple level, this is where too often people stop this year, and they say, oh, let's just look how we pass in. If we were to pass in like Rami Bar Kama, so obviously there would be no question gambling is lost, and it's stealing Midravanan. If we pass in like Rosheshes, and it's all in Ein Otsin B'Yeshuva Shalom, so it would be us to be a professional gambler, but to be anything less than a professional gambler would seem to be mutter, and you can even be an aide in a Jewish court. Right? That's what it would seem to be from this machlokas. Now the Rambam is quick to point out in his Pirush HaMishnayos that although technically that is true, that if we pass on like Rosheshes, it shouldn't be us. If you look at the Rambam, source number 3, in the second line, he says, Mesachim became usher because it's something that doesn't help the Yishuv HaOlam. It's not productive to society when you do this. The Yisod Mubitorah Seinu, he says. It's a Yisod in our Torah, She'ein Roi La'adam Mahasik Esatmo Ba'olam Azeh, Ela Be'echad Mishnei Dvarim. An unbelievable statement, the Rambam says. That a person should spend his time in this world doing one of two things. You can boil life down to two activities, Rambam says. Od chachma, lahashlim ba'atzmo. He can either engage in chachma to make himself a complete person, od be'esek sheyalol b'kiyum ha'olam, kudol umnas ha'mitzvah. Or he can get involved in some sort of profession or business that helps others, that keeps the world running, keeps the economy going, and keeps the world going. Right? Those are the two productive activities people have. Self-improvement or world improvement. That's what you do in life. But he said, running with might with a lahavos barishon, but he says, happens to be, even though the two are both productive, he says the second one should be less emphasized than the first, meaning to be matter the chachma, and to complete oneself should be the focus, the primary focus of one's attention. That a person should do as much business as he needs to get by, but his primary asek should be in Torah, in Chachma, and that way he will be a better person. That's the Rambam. So the Rambam, why does Rambam quote that by Misafik Sukkot? Because he says, people who are involved in these activities, they're doing something that's utterly unproductive. They're doing something that's not their job in this world. It's something that's a complete waste of the precious life that the Ribbon Shalom has given us. But again, that may border on Hashkafa Bulim. So let's again, keep to the Halakha.
If you have another job, then it's fine. According to the Rambam, the way I read it, it's not so much that he abjectly does nothing, is that when he's doing this, the man...
Right, that's why I read it also.
Right,
even when he does it a little bit, he's doing something completely useless. And he uses this interesting lesson, I mean, we assume, in also the Yishuv Shalom just means he's not doing anything, but not going to touch it, because he used the Lashon to neticize that. Now, you have to, I don't know, the Lashon was in the Perish Mishnah, wasn't written in Hebrew, I'm not sure what the original, you know, what it said, but the neticize, probably, I would imagine, I'm trying to get that correctly, but I don't know. That's a, it's a difficult Rambam. It's not the only difficult Rambam on this thing, you will see soon, but, and it's, we'll see, it's also difficult, because it sounds like he's paskening, because they know it's like the Yishuv Shalom. Right, and we see in the Mishnah Torah, he may not paskin that way either. It's unclear, but he may not paskin that way either. Okay, so anyway, so that's what we have. We have the Gemara, wine and gambling make someone possible able. Shita number one is because it's stealing Midrabanan, the other person doesn't want to lose, and after he's stealing Midrabanan. Shita number two is it's not stealing Midrabanan, you do it only occasionally, it's not even so terrible. The whole issue is if you do it too often, you're not also Yishuv Shalom. Now what is Asmachta? Meaning Frashashis is going to say gambling isn't Asmachta. So we need to know what is Asmachta? What's the definition of Asmachta? And why is this so important? This is a step a lot of people don't take when I see people discuss this idea. And it's a critical step. If we understand properly why Rav Sheshet thinks dice playing is not Asmachta, we may come to the conclusion that other types of gambling are Asmachta, even according to Rav Sheshet. I mean, even Rav Sheshet, who says that the dice playing isn't stealing me, Rabban, it's not Asmachta, when we understand what Asmachta is and why Rav Sheshet thinks that gambling is not Asmachta, we'll then be able to understand that maybe other types of gambling, even according to Rav Sheshet, are cases of Asmachta. So what are the three cases of Asmachta that come up in Shas? One case of Asmachta is in source number four, Mishnah Misha Parah Mitzvah Skobo, a person pays part of a Reuven pays owes money to Shimon. He owes $100 to Shimon, so he pays part of his kovah off. He pays $50 off. The hishlus shtaro. Shimon has a shtar that says Reuven owes him $100. So what are they going to do with the shtar now? Reuven paid that $50, so they can't rip up the shtar because he still owes him another $50. But they can't they can't let Shimon keep the shtar because he paid that $50 already. So what do? They give the shtar to Levi. Right? And they say the following here. If Reuven says to Levi, look, if I don't give the money from between now and the end of the loan, the end of a certain time frame, you can give him the whole shtar back. And then he'll be able to be tovei on me for the $400 again. So what am I doing? I'm saying that if I don't pay back this money, I'm going to pay back more than I actually owe. Right? So that's called, that is one example that the Gemara says the Feirish over there is Asmachta. Right? That's Asmachta lo tanya. That's what Rabbi Yossi says in the Mishnah, that Rabbi Yossi omer yitain. I'm sorry, Rabbi Yehuda omer lo yitain. Right? Rabbi Yehuda says, you can't do that. You can't go and make the guy give the $100 at the end of the day, because he obviously didn't mean for it to ever come to that. When he said this deal, he obviously planned on paying back the $50, not having to pay back the full $100, and therefore, when you collect the full $100 from him again, that was something he didn't really want to get into, something he really didn't mean to commit himself to, and that's called Asmachta. That's case number one of Asmachta. Case number two of Asmachta is the Gemara in Bava Basra. The Gemara in Bava Basra says, Hanosi Nirvo Nechavero V'Amarlo, a person gives something to his friend, something of value to his friend, and he says, Imanicho, we have a deal over here, a handshake deal that has nothing to do with the valuable thing that I'm giving him right now. Just as a symbol of my commitment to this deal, I give him this this watch, let's say, and I say, Imanicho, if I change my mind, Rivoli Machala, if I back out of the deal, you keep the watch. Forget about it, it's yours. But the other guy says, oh yeah, in my nichazodi, I'll show you my commitment also. If I back out of the deal, echvalach revoncha. Not only will I give you a watch back, I'll buy you another watch also. I'll give you double. Right? So again, the Gemara says, Niskayim ha'atzmah ziv Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi is temeh, gamar ha'atzmachta tanya. Only according to Rabbi Yossi, who thinks ha'atzmachta isn't gezel, that ha'atzmachta works, only then would it work, but the way we pass him, like Rabbi Yehuda, this is Asmachta, and the person said this deal, obviously he wasn't planning on backing out. The fact that he later backed out was something that he didn't plan on doing, and therefore he didn't really want to have to pay this money. That's called Asmachta, Asmachta lo tanya. Case number three, Havu Gavra, source number six, from Sechta Messiah. Havu Gavra, the couple Aram Mechavre. A person is hired to work to be a farmer on land. Omar, he says, Imovarnala, Yehidnalak Alpha Zuze. Very simple. He says, if I fail to do my job properly, I'll give you $1,000. Like saying, you know, if I don't do it, I'll pay you $1 million. A comment like that. Says the Gemara over there. Also, Esmach the Lokandia. He doesn't plan on actually giving $1,000. Let's say he gets sick that weekend. He doesn't do his job. So he can be on the phone and say, yeah, $1,000. He didn't do your job. The field's not even worth $1,000, right? And he said, he didn't do your job. He said, you gave me $1,000. No, he didn't plan on having to pay the $1,000. That's called Esmach the Lokandia. Now, that's the definition of Esmach. Now, the question is, good, that's the definition of a smachta. What's the machlokas in our Gemara then? Rabbi Bar Chana says playing with dice is a smachta. Rav Sheshet says playing with dice isn't a smachta. What is not a smachta? What are they arguing about? Now we saw three cases where you're talking about a future possible chiyuv that you're going to have to do, but you don't really mean that you want to ever have it come to that. So you can understand why when I enter into a bet, when I gamble, obviously I don't want to have to pay the money. I want to win or at least break even. So I won't have to be out money at the end of the day. And then it turns out that I am out the money. So if that's called a smart, we understand why Rabbi Bar Chana will say, well, that's called a smart. It's an exact parallel to the three other cases. Right? In all the cases, it's something that I agreed going in. I said it. In all the cases, I said it. I said that on day. But I don't want to. I don't want it to come to that. I want to be able to win or break even, so it won't come to that. When it actually does come to that, it's called a smart according to Rabbi Bar Chana. What does Rav Sheshet hold? How can Rav Sheshet disagree with that? So according to Rav Sheshet, who says that gambling isn't asmachta, you have three shitos in the Rishonim. Now these are critical lahalacha. Three shitos in the Rishonim. What is asmachta and what is not asmachta about playing, about gambling? What about gambling makes it any different than those other three cases? So Rashi says in the Masechet Sanhedrin that it's only asmachta if you believe that you're in control of the outcome. Right? If you believe that you can control it, in all these three cases, they all have the same thing in common. I say, if I work the field, if I don't do the job, then I'll pay you $1,000 because I think I'm going to be able to do the job. It's up to me to do the job. Right? I say, if I don't renege on the deal, it's up to me to renege on the deal and not renege on the deal. Right? That's completely, the ball of the mind court is completely under my control. Well, the first case would be I'm paying back the loan. I think that I'll be able to pay back the loan. I don't envision that being a problem. I envision myself being in control of all that. If I'm in control of all that, says Rashi, that's a smachta, because of course I didn't plan on having to pay. Why would I think you would ever come to paying? Because it's in my control and I could avoid that having to pay. But, says Rashi, in the case of I'm gambling, I know it's not in my control. It's the roll of dice. However they roll, it's going to make me win or make me lose. So if I know I'm not going to have to pay, I mean, I know that it's not in my control, so that would not be a smachta. And therefore, when I enter into that agreement, I'm not entering into that agreement thinking it's never going to come to that. Rav Sheshet would say, and this makes a lot of sense, right? Rav Sheshet would say, I'm entering into that agreement knowing that it might come to that, and knowing full well that it will come to that. Right? That's the shita of Rashi, that when it's completely biyadi, that's when it's a smachta. When it's not really in my hands, if I'm not in control, or I don't believe myself to be in control. Sometimes people believe themselves to be in control with the gambling also. I just had a conversation with a person who said, I only do poker, I don't do these other games, because I don't gamble. What do you mean you don't gamble? Because you play poker. He says, no, poker's not gambling for me. Right? He doesn't view it as gambling, because he's so confident in his own skill. I don't know why he's not on TV and the he's so confident that he's always going to win, right? So if such a person is playing, and he loses, then the other guy has stolen from him, right? That's not him, because he obviously doesn't plan on losing. But Pashup Shad and Rashi, and again, don't draw any conclusions yet, Pashup Shad and Rashi, what, and this is within Rav Sheshet, why does Rav Sheshet say the dice rolling is not a smachta? Because it's completely out of your control how the dice are going to roll. The Re adds a little bit of a nuance into that shot. The Re, quoted in Tosfos in the Sefer Sanhedrin, writes that when it's completely in my control, it's a smachta. Because obviously I don't plan on having to pay it. Like all those three cases, a smachta, where it was completely up to me to meet my end of the bargain, not me, or I thought at least it was completely up to me to meet my end of the bargain, or to not meet my end of the bargain, that's a smachta. The Re says, he has one other thing. When it's partially in my control, it's also a smachta, he says. If it's partially skill and partially luck, so I'm somewhat in control, that too is a smachta. That's a bigger finish right over there, no? That now you're saying that if it's a game that roll of the dice, it's not so much skill, it's how the dice roll. But when you're playing a game that involves some sort of skill, right, so a person can rely somewhat on the skill, even though he knows there's a chance he's going to lose. The Rebbe says that skill calls us smachter. The question, he makes the same chiluk as Rashi, but it's a question of where do you draw the line? Where does a smachter end and no smachter begin, right? At which point do you say that anything less than certain that you can do it is not going to be a smachter, or do you say anything less than certain that you can't do it, or that you have no control, is a smachter? Right? So the Rebbe seems to say the only time it's not a smachta is if you have no way to think that you're in control of anything over here. It's completely out of your hands. Then it's not a smachta. Because obviously you're going in with the full knowledge that you're committing to this, and you, and if it comes to paying, then you know you're going to have to pay. Right? So that's not a smachta. But when you think you're in control, the Rebbe says even a little bit, then it is going to be a smachta. And again, keep in mind, this is all within the sheet of Rashi, which is the more makel opinion, who says that rolling dice is not a smachta. Rabbi Bar Chama holds rolling dice is a smachta. Then you have the third sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, that Rabbeinu Tam thinks that this whole sugya is going to do a smachta. The smachta is going to, I make a promise to convince the guy to trust me. Again, when you're planning to do is trusting me, this is the game. This is how it works. Right? So he thinks that this whole sugya doesn't relate to a smachta. The cloud. A smachta is right over all those cases. If I back out on the deal, I'll give you this and that. If I don't do my job properly, I'll give you something. If I don't pay the loan back on time, then I'll give you extra money. All these things are saying, trust me, I'll meet my end of the bargain. So it's not so much how much faith I have in myself to do it, but it's why am I saying it? I'm saying it to gain the other person's trust. In those cases, the result is going to be an asmachta. But when my purpose in saying it, my purpose in entering the agreement, is something other than to gain the other person's trust, then it's not going to be an asmachta. So I hope that I've been clear just in setting up the sugya the way it is according to the Rishonim. The basic machlokes for the grant letter rolling dice is asmachta or is not asmachta. Even if it's not asmachta, you then have to understand why isn't it asmachta. So we had Rashi who said that anything that I'm not in control of is not a smachta, and therefore is not a problem. The Rebbe said, no, anything that I'm not at least partially in control of is not a smachta. If I'm partially in control, it is a smachta. And then the Rebbe Tam said, well, when I'm not doing it, convince the other guy to trust me, then it's not going to be a smachta. A smachta is only when I'm trying to convince the other guy to trust me. Now the question is, okay, now we have the basic levels in the Gemara, we have the Rishonim. How do we pass in the Gemara? And if the answer is we pass the negotiation, which of these Rishonim do we pass in life? And then we can start discussing halakha l'maisa, all the different forms of gambling that come on, and what's mutter, what's usher. Can I go can I go play to bet with my friend, put some money down on the big game on Sunday? I don't know how many I call it the Super Bowl. Not license. The big game on Sunday, right? So can I put the money down to bet on it? And all the other issues. Can I put money down for the raffle, the big raffle, on the Kai Shabbos and the Shul's raffle, right? Is that mutter, or is all of this mishra l'smachta? So how do we pass it? So in terms of how we pass the line tomorrow, it seems to be long party lines mostly between Tzad and Ashkenazim, but the Shita of the Rit, actually, that's not true. I shouldn't have said that. It's not a long party line. It seems to be that the way we pass the line Halacha is clearly in Machlokes Rishonim. The Rit in Sanhedrin, if you look in source number 11, a very brief source, the Rit, the way he passes things, as you're well aware, is he just quotes the words of the Gemara and leaves out the words that he doesn't pass the line. So if it's two-way machlokas, we'll quote the shita, and the pasuk like won't quote the other shita. So it says this, I'm a sakhik pukubya, my father, one of the guys is wrong, he's a sakhik pukubya. So he says, skips over the whole first shita, I'm not shesha, pukina, udisha, ina, sukin, yishuv, shalolam. He's not okay to yishuv, shalolam, that's why a gambler can't be an A. What he means? So it means that it's not a smachta, it's not a problem of stealing. Right? The Rit very clearly pasuk, like the more makel shita, that gambling is not an issue. That's the sheet of the Rit. In agreement with the Rit, we have Tosfos and Erev, we just saw recently in the, I skipped that Tosfos in the Gubia, but Erev and Daf Tevez, we have the sheet of Tosfos that we just did in Daf Yomi recently, Erev and Daf Tevez, who also agrees with the Rit that gambling is not a smachta, pasuk like a sheshet. The whole issue with gambling is that you're not in touch with reality, and therefore if you are in touch with reality, you only gamble on occasion. So it's not going to be a major problem. On the other side of things, you have the Rivashan Ravaz, who, as much as the Rift and Postos were pretty clear about what they hold, the Rivashan Ravaz were yet clearer. If you look in the Rivash, just the way he starts out the tshuva, you can see right away. The Shavu Yeshivas, Olin V'Pirtzus lived together. Because right away there are big breaches that we have to build up over here. There are big problems in the community. And he goes on and he says, you know, the Ribbono Shel Olam should watch over us, you know, save us from these types of things. And look at the underlying part, he says, Uschot Bekovya, and to gamble, he may yeshbo yisur d'rabanan. It's asumi d'rabanan. How do I know? He says, Kedisa, the Sanhedrin, Parag Zavore. He says, like the Gemara says, the Sanhedrin, Parag Zavore. That it's asumi d'rabanan. Who says it's asumi d'rabanan? Only Rabbi Bar Chama. That it's asumi d'rabanan. That it's asumat, that it's feeling d'rabanan. Clearly that's how he's passing. Now he adds in, Va'afilu Rasheshes Tzvirulei Hassam, to let that smachta because you know Rasheshes who holds over there that there's no smachta. He says, I can't help myself. Mikol Mekom Zav Mechor Mitzvah Meshukatu. But it's a disgusting, despicable thing we have to do. So even if you hold it, it's not Osir, but it's still a disgusting thing to do. V'radim Chalolim Hito, I meant to say this to the end, but V'radim Chalolim Hito, he says that a lot of people have died for it. He doesn't, I don't know if he means that literally, although there's not to say he could. The Atsumin Kol Harugav, and it's pretty overwhelming when you think about the destruction that gambling has caused in the world in general. So he says, let's even if you want to pass the like Rav Sheshet, I'm not so happy about it. But on a halakhic level, he says, I don't pass the like Rav Sheshet. I hope it's Asumid Ravan. That's the Rivash. It's a Rishon. It's not some Talit Afro. Says the Rav. That's also like the Rivash. Reisi Ktsas Pritim. Because I see some people who are a bunch of Prutzim, Matirin Dabazet, that are not in this issue. V'roi Liga Behem Ulamon Amizet. We have to get angry at them, and we have to stop them from doing this. Ki lo dai she'inos kundi Yeshuva Shel Olam. Forget the fact that they're not Osek Yeshuva Shel Olam. That's the smaller problem. That's not a big deal. Not a big deal. Elo she'gozun ishes chabero. They're stealing from each other. The Asmach, the Lokani, the Asmach of Apostin. The Asmach was not coming from the Moskoskin. So over here we have a basic Makokas, major Makokas, Halakha L'maisa. The Rif and the Tosfos, who are generally Shifos that were more likely to pass them, like, by the way. The Rif and the Tosfos is more mainstream, we showed in, even though the Rivash is pretty mainstream, so is Radvaz, but they're not quite as mainstream as the Rif and Tosfos. The Rif and the Tosfos say that if we pass them like a Sheshet, it's not a Smachta, and the Rivash and the Radvaz say it is a Smachta, and therefore it's Asimid Rabbanim. Now, Shita, Tosfos has another Shita, quote the Shita of Rabbeinu Eliyahu, that's also very much Nogea L'maisa, we're going to see later, and that is Rabbeinu Eliyahu adds in the Chumrah. He says that asmakta, that even if we pass like what Sheshet says, it's not asmakta, that's only assuming the money's out there on the table. If the money is something that I promise to give later, then for sure everyone would hold it's asmakta. But when you're playing a game of dice or whatever it is they used to play in Talmudic times, the pigeon racing, whatever it may be, you have to put the money down in advance, and then someone will take the pot. Right? That's where Rav Sheshet would say it's not a smakta. But if you're just going and you go to your friend and say, I'll bet you $10 that this team wins the Super Bowl or that team wins the Super Bowl, and there's no money changing hands yet, so then, the Rabbeinu Eliyahu says, then everyone would agree it is a smakta. Right? Everyone would agree it is problematic. So that's the basic Makotis in the Rishonim. How does the Rambam hold? We always need to know how the Rambam holds. So the Rambam, very fascinating how the Rambam writes this. The Rambam speaks about this in two places, as one would expect. Hilchos Eidos, because it's possible Eidos if you gamble, and Hilchos Gzeila V'Aveda, because it's a question of, are you a gambler, and someone who's stealing from somebody else when you take gambling winnings. Says the Rambam, I put the whole thing on the sheet, or most of it, but the underlying section is source number 18, the same Masasek B'Kuvya, if a person gambles and he has no other profession, since he's not involved in reality, we assume he's enjoyed the benefits of the gambling, which is avak gezel. Right away, just within that one line of the Rambam, you know, what's he doing? First he starts off by saying, yeah, you're not osik yeshuva shel olam, which is the shita that we generally understand to mean. You didn't really do anything asur per se. You're just not doing what, you know, you're supposed to be doing in life. You're not doing anything productive in life, but it's not stealing, it's not asur. Then he closes off, because it's avak gezel also. Avak gezel is a strange term. It doesn't say it's gezel midrabanan. It says avak gezel, meaning it smells bad. It's just not good. It's too close to gezel. Still a little too close for comfort, the Rambam seems to be saying. That's Rambam Hilchos Seidus. Then you go to the next Rambam, in Hilchos Gzeira V'Aveda, says the Rambam, if he goes on the Sakhan, it could be a fake side. Elish and the Sakhan, the Eitzim, the Torah, he tells you how to go on the first, he gives you a lesson. And then he says, if you do that, that's Gezel Midravaran. Wait a second, he's just the one that said, that the Eitzim is Yishuv HaShalom. Now he's saying, it's Gezel Midravaran. And he says, Apopi, the Rambam says, I know the excuse you're going to tell me. Apopi Shabarotan Abayrum Lakas, even though you took it, but the guy's saying, the guy's giving it to you, and he's saying, I know, I entered into this thing, this is yours, take it. And he says, he looks with a smile on his face, he's giving it to you. Still the Rambam says, Hol V'lakas Mamun Chadeiro B'chinam, Dereb Skok V'hitol, Harez HaGezel. You took your friend's money for nothing in a game setting? That's Gezel, the Rambam says. I don't want to hear any excuses about how happy he was to give you the money. He wants to give you the money if you didn't win the game. And therefore, it's Gezel. That's a little bit difficult. It's difficult not because of what he says. It's fine that he wants to pass by going Marhana, but in the first Rambam, he passed in like Arshesha. So it seems to be a Sfiran Pesach. There aren't any great answers that I know of to the Sfiran Rambam. It's asked by everybody, as you would expect. You know, the Mishnah, the Ketzer Mishnah, they all discuss, you know, this major Sfiran Rambam. It is assumed, however, by most of the postim, and by postim I don't mean modern-day postim, I mean the early postim. They still say those postim, that the second Rambam is to be taken literally, to be taken mahalakha, for what the Rambam's shita really is. Meaning, it's possible that the Rambam holds that it's both Gezel and the Yosef Yishuv HaShalom, right? But again, why the Rambam would be that, the fact that it's really Gezel, because this remains difficult. But we assume the Rambam holds that it's Mamish Gezel Midrabanan. That when you can't hold Mamish Gezel Midrabanan, like the first shita. So that's very good. Now we have the Shitos and the Rishonim, right? We have Tosfos and the Rif, and the Rambam never veers from the Rif, very rarely veers from the Pesach of the Rif, but yet over here he does. Tosfos and the Rif say that it's only that Enos can be Shuvah Shalom, but it's not really an Issa per se, we'll assume, and the Rambam and the Rivash and the Rabbaz all say that, no, it is an Issa of Gezel Midrabanan. How do we pass in La Halach and Shulchan Aruch? So La Halach and Shulchan Aruch is split. Says the Shulchan Aruch, source number 21, source number 20 rather, says the Shulchan Aruch, HaMesachim B'Kuv Yaketzad, according to the Lashon of the Rambam, what does it mean when we say you play dice? Eilu SheMesachim Be'Eitzim of Atzrolus of Atom, you can play with wood chips or with little pebbles or with bones or whatever you use, Va'osim Tanai Be'Nei, and then you make a condition, SheKalanoseach HaKaver Ba'osus Chol Gita'k Tachtu Zekar. Whoever wins gets a certain amount of money. The king of Sakhim, the Behemoth, the Chayel, the Ochel, so some Tanisha, Kolshet, and the Tzayat, the Hemtel, or Tzorit Yoser, Yikap, Mesmer, Tzakutap. That they fight the animals with each other, and you bet that your animal's going to win the fight, or you race the animals, you bet your animal's going to win the race. He goes through all those common types of gambling. He says, V'kol, Kiyose, B'dvar, Melu, Hakol, Otzer, the Gezel, Midvrayimu. Shulchan Aruch says, that's Otzer, that's Gezel, Midvrayimu. Shulchan Aruch couldn't be clearer. As clear as Shulchan Aruch is, so seems the Ramah. Look at the part of the Ramah that I underlined, the Ramah is in the Rashi print, in source number 20. Ramah says, Utvar Pasha Vaminit, Tisvar Ha'akrona, Ha'akrona, list close to Sovya. The minute is, everyone gambles, come on. You know, the Ramah says, that's the minute already, that everyone is in Safi, to Sovya, everyone plays dice. Ve'im Psol Elu Mishayim Elu Umnos Elohu. The only Psol is someone who doesn't have any other job, such a person is postulated. Now, when I said before that it's unfortunate that people sometimes don't look closely enough at that halacha, it's unfortunate because you could look at this Ramah and you could say, oh, game over perfectly, I'm not Sephardic, everything's fine, you're allowed to gamble, there's no problem, it's only a problem if you're a Sephardic. Now, if you're a Sephardic, it's clearly a problem, obviously. It's the famous Maran, the basis of it, right? The Vadia Seif and his children, he asks him buying lottery tickets, he asks him everything, any type of gambling you could imagine, and he says, like he always does when he has a really strong Sephardic Ashkenazic split, he always says, and the Ashkenazim should listen to us too. You know, he says, and the Ashkenazim should pay attention also. But obviously we're not going to, you know, if the Ashkenazim post them say differently, then we'll have to pass them differently. But you can't stop at this Ramah, because this isn't the only Sifat in Ramah Rodan. This isn't the only Sif in Shulchan Aruch Ramah Rodan. In fact, Ramah wrote practically a whole dissertation in Choshen Mishpatim and Reish Lion. Ramah writes, discussing in Hufus Kizerom now in issues of stealing, the Ramah seems to quote the Shita of Tosfos. If you look at the Ramah, the Ramah says that when the aim be able to gather, it will be out of pain. It's not completely in your control, not in your control. If you go on the Sakhi, it could be a field. Well, meaning what the Ramah is saying over there, you have to understand. When the Ramah is quoting that, he's not saying that it's not in your control in the sense that it's not completely in your control, that you have some control. He means it's completely out of your control. When he says that, well, in the other Lagarin is Lobby Arachayim, what he means is, it's in nobody's control. It's completely random. If that's the case, to go on a psychic for Kubi or Kayotivo, like rolling dice, to vanish, and you have a say it alone, where you have no idea if you're going to win or you're going to lose. But feel happy is you still enter into the agreement. I'm trying to think that I'm a slot machine, I guess. You have no idea if you're going to lose, and you can't think that you're in any control of it. I guess you think you're going to win because they have all those loud noises, right, that make it sound like everybody's winning. Right? But you know, if you really have no idea, and you know that it's completely out of your control, that's what he's talking about, that people have to hear, you still enter into it, into the agreement. Vadei gomor makin yusafik, we assume that you meant to be makin of the gomor, and therefore it's a valid opinion, and it works. And it's not a problem of asmakta when it's completely out of your control, because you knew in advance it was completely out of your control. Roulette, right? That's what they say. Is that completely out of your control? Is there any skill? Any roulette? No skill. Pure luck.
Maybe not for counting, but not really.
Right. So that would be something that's completely out of your control. Hashuk shot so far in the Ramah is that would be mutter. Says Ramah further, the medvar mamurim kishasotkin b'ma'os mutanim. If you have money prepared already out there when you're playing this. Right? The money's all there, and it's all out on the table. Everyone has it. I will sell some about money. You say, yeah, I'll pay you later. You know, I'll bet you $10 that this or this won't happen. Then, ain't no seeing me in a Masha history. Even if you know you have no control over it, you can't gamble on such things. You can't take the money, any gambling winning. Right? There's absolutely no issue to gamble and lose. Right? You can gamble and lose all you want. The only issue is going to be to gamble, except with me even then. But the only issue is going to be to gamble and win, right? And you gamble and win, then you're stealing the money, you're taking someone else's money. That's not for the person who doesn't want to give it up. The Ramah adds another line, another qualification. The Yeshua on the next page, the Yeshua, the Eno Mutter, Rak Sha Dach Sha Mos Menach Molach, Kon in the Shrein. Now that's a chumah that changes a lot. He says it's only going to be Mutter if the table on which the money is resting is owned by everybody there. Everyone who's in has to own that table. Why? Where does this come from? Well, this actually comes from Tosfos. The point is, the Rama says, and Tosfos says, that you have to be able to make a kinyan me'ikar on it. And it has to be like a kinyan chatzer. So you have to at least be a partial owner on it, so that whatever's on it, you can be koneh. If you don't own that area, then you can't be koneh. So this manas is not machine, right? You put the money in front of the money may all be right there, but you don't own the area where the money is. So that might answer the issue of taking money from the slot machine. But let's go through, now that we know the basic parameters of the issue, right, again, if you're deciding there's nothing to talk about, you're talking about something about Thelma, it's a smart, it's stealing, you know, it's starting in the room, it's good, right, so then it's, and I think, what?
Half on the raffle is gone.
Well, with the raffle, maybe we'll get to that. I should have said there's no issue. There's some issues. Very, very few issues. What I should say is as follows. Before we get into this even, there's a halakha that, for some unknown reason, I forgot to put on the sheet. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins Beferish, I have it here somewhere on one of my other sheets, but the Shulchan Aruch Paskins Beferish, Nada Tzedaka Ba'asmachta. I give Tzedaka Ba'asmachta. I say, you know, if I don't do a certain mitzvah, okay, I'm involved in a big business deal. So I say, if I get this deal, man, I'll give $1 million to the shul. And then, you got the deal, right? Now you have to give, so that's basmata, you do that basmata, if you go to master, double Tony, if I do this, etin kapli, I'll give this amount of money to tzedaka, the aso, and then you did the thing that you said would obligate you, then chayav leikin. But tzedaka, you chayav leikin. The question is, what's this for? Is this just because, you know, a way to get more money for tzedaka? I mean, are we compromising all of our values? No, that's not the svara. The svara is, and we assume it's similar to what one of the posts say. I think the one of the posts I have on the sheet says that it's like the Rambam writes when it comes to forcing a guy to give a get to his wife, right? That you're kof no sarachi yom arotzai. That we assume that even though the guy's saying, I don't want to give a get to my wife, but we assume somewhere deep down he really wants to be a good person. There's a simple yid in there somewhere who wants to do the right thing and doesn't want to leave his wife in a guna. It just takes a little bit of a beating until he can actually say the word. So you got to beat him up until that little simple yid comes out of him. So that's what we assume. Deep down he really wants to give. So someone is no deal with tzedaka. So tzedaka is a unique situation, right? The Gemara says it's different than all of the mitzvahs. Normal mitzvah, you do mitzvah for ulterior motives. I wear tefillin, let's say, because I think they look cool, because I want to impress someone, or because it's a job requirement when you're a rabbi. Whatever it is, it's certainly a lesser schar than wearing tefillin l'shma l'shem mitzvah. Right, but if I give tzedakah, the Gemara says, amanash yichya b'ni. Right, amanash that orsha eyeh ben olam haba. We have it in the Gemara tzedakah. And if I give tzedakah for ulterior motives, so then hareza tzadik gavim. Right, we assume with tzedakah, when you make that sort of commitment of tzedakah, we assume that you're happy that you did it. And that's what the Rishonim say, that you're tzadik gadol, because a person wouldn't regret giving tzedakah, and he really wanted to give it, so he just needed a little push to give it. So he needed a little excuse to give it. So that's why very often you'll have shul that will run casino nights with the money over to tzedakah. So it may be distasteful, and in my opinion it is very distasteful, but if, I guess they're desperate enough, it's not technically us, because it's... Because the idea is that all the money goes to tzedakah. I would certainly not recommend it in the current climate, you know, knowing what kids are doing does not aim. Well, we've had to do the yeshiva. We're running a mandatory program for ninth graders on gambling, bringing a psychologist and experts in the field, and we're going to tell horror stories and scare the kids out of, hopefully scare the kids out of getting involved, because it's gotten to... as bad or worse proportions than the drug problems have been in yeshiva high schools and the drinking problems and all the other problems we've had. Gambling, I would say, it's certainly more common and it's being done by better kids, and kids are stealing and kids are doing all sorts of horrible things because that's the culture. That's what society is. The kids that go to certain camps because they know that there are a bunch of younger kids who really like to play poker but don't really know how to play, so they'll go to that camp for the summer because they can make $3,000 over the summer. And I'll be able to support my girlfriend for the whole year. I couldn't make it up, so you have to trust me. Anyway, let's go through the different types of gambling. So poker, it seems, right off the bat, poker, if the money's on the table, so even though we hold a stock, it is not a smakta, especially when the money's on the table. However, we said, remember that qualification we added in, when it's a skill game, and you're relying on your own skills, then we assume it is a case of a smakta and you're not coding. Poker, from what I understand, is a skill game. I have no idea how to play it, but it seems that there are people who are better at it than others, as witnessed by these people who are making millions of dollars, apparently, that are annoying, you know, making it so annoying to everyone else. Right? There are people who are experts at playing poker, so obviously there's some skill involved. There's also some luck, what hands you draw, but nevertheless, since there's skill involved, and people enter into the game, relying on their skill, it seems there's no question the poker game for money is a smart time to us, or get no meter up on it. According to everyone, according to Shashas, according to Ramah, you guys don't need to have money. Now it happens to be, if you play poker for tzedakah, you can have a poker game where you all get together and say, hey, the proceeds this week, whatever money gets that changes hands, will go to this and this tzedakah. So you can do that. Again, you may not set the best example for your children. You may tell them that it's for tzedakah, they may set a nice to do whatever, I don't know, whatever, that's your own decision, your own home. But that would be technically halachically mutter if you're keeping the money, even if it's nothing, even if it's small amounts of money, you're keeping it. It's gazel mizrabanu, right? It's more than a shalom kufit, presumably. So, and even if it's less than a shalom kufit, the lottery is just not going to be chayyuf for that. But whatever. Internet poker is a little bit different because the money's not on the table. So even if it weren't a skill game, even if you weren't relying on the fact that it's a skill game, the fact that the money's not right out there on the table, I don't think. The money's all in cyberspace somewhere, no? So
you're when you say
you're sitting, it's there, but is it in a place? That's a hard thing. I probably shouldn't. Is it something that... Well,
it's a credit account.
Well, you don't pay that to the lady. That's like...
It's a
mother.
It's a charger account.
They charge your account right away. I should have gotten into that, because I don't really know. I don't know enough about that. But anyway, it's relying on skill also. So it's since it is relying on skill also, it's going to be us anyway. I had a debate, my Kavrisa was under the impression, he thinks betting on games is also relying on skill. I can't imagine, it doesn't seem to me that
big. At least you think it's...
No, but I mean,
they have information.
I sometimes listen to sports, I will confess right now, I sometimes listen to sports. they talk about their pools that they have, right? And they have the greatest experts in sports stations, the greatest experts, pick the NCAA brackets, the Final Four, and they have, like, the girl who works, answers the phones, who doesn't know a thing, doesn't ever watch a basketball game. Every year she wins. Now she just like, whatever. She just picks the number. It's so random. Like, people don't make that. I can't imagine that people consistently can make a good deal of money betting on sporting events. They don't poker, they think it's a skill. I don't really see the skill. It's a certain set of knowledge, I guess. You know, if you really don't know anything about the theme, you know, that and you need some sort of expertise, it doesn't seem to me that it's a skill type of thing. And it would seem, if the money's all out on the table up front, right, that betting on the Super Bowl, that may be your only heifer to bet. That may be the only clue you can get out of it, right? Again, it's not a nice thing to do. It's not a good thing to do. But there's great pressure to do in an office pool or something like that. So you're betting on a swing, you hand your money in up front. Bet on the, you know, you don't want to be the only outcast in the office. That's a better way to say it. You're not doing it for your own. You don't want to be the only outcast in the office, not bringing the money in the NCAA pool. So you put the money in, and that it seems that there's no school involved whatsoever, and the money's all out there, so maybe you can rely on that. You don't necessarily have to pass the IP. You're showing that it has to be on the muffin that's coming to everybody. Yes, there is a difference between gambling and choosing gambling with players. The Shulchan Aruch actually says that even though he postulates that gambling with Jews is going to be Gezlem Yidavrayim, that gambling with Gezlem is less than fun. Gambling with Gezlem is not going to be Gezlem Yidavrayim. Again, nevertheless, that because it's not that Gezlem is Mutter, it's that it may not be called Gezlem when you're dealing with Gezlem, because that a smachta may not be in the definition of Gezlem when you're dealing with Gezlem, for whatever reason. So yeah, there is a difference. If you don't know who's playing, and, you know, who's who, such as over the internet, which I would bet is a good percentage of views playing on, and I don't want to be multi-loud on the entire people, but, yeah, I would bet there's a decent percentage, so obviously, you have to stay away from it. Betting on, slot machines say you don't own the machine that holds the money, so maybe I'll see you in the place. I'm not, right, that's something that's recommended. Certainly, you can catch out a heads in maybe, right, because you could say, like, you don't hold like that. You show them, they used to be a Muslim, it's funny, but, you know, the Ramah says it, so Pashup Shad should be also. Lottery tickets is where it gets a little bit interesting, because when it comes to the lottery tickets, the Svardis post can work hard to find kulas. The Rav Pa'olin, right, one of the great starting posts about 100 years ago, writes that it's also though, because you're taking other people's money, there's nothing to talk about. However, later starting posts can work to find coolers. As I mentioned, Ravadia doesn't find coolers, Ravadia thinks it's also, but others have pointed out that there are a number of spies you could say lahakel. One spy you could say lahakel, that the whole idea of a smachta, I told you a number of posts, the whole idea of a smachta is, I don't really think I'm going to lose, and that's why I don't intend on giving my money. How many people that buy $1 lottery tickets that are in touch with reality actually think that they're going to win, right? I mean, they're doing it, dollar in a dream, you know, which I have, but it's a dream, I know it's a dream. I know that it's never, you know, it's not really going to happen, so that's one swell of the hot dog, because the person, that's the case, so the person going in, millions of people are buying a lottery ticket, there's only one or two winners, I know going in, I'm not going to be the one or two winners. If I'm a normal person. The other spot that is permissible is because you're not actually, some say you're not even taking the other people's money, because the other people, you're taking a jackpot, which is predetermined, and they're just all supporting that jackpot. Hard to figure out exactly how that works. No, because the jackpot's supported by other people's money. That's like playing a poker at a table where the winnings are everyone else's money. They try to separate the lottery officials from where the money's actually going, and, you know, by the time it gets there, it doesn't have to be the same bills. It's the same group. So that's a hard cooler to buy. And Sternbach, I think, the best cooler, this is one of our looking things, was quoted to me as having said as well. And that is that he says, the whole issue is not an issue of smachta. It says if you buy something that has value, that may increase in value or decrease in value in the future, that's not a smachta. Right? If you buy something right now that has value, I buy that lottery ticket, I could sell a lottery ticket the second after I buy it for the same dollar that I bought it for. Right now, it has value. The transaction occurred. It's not that I'm going to pay. Right? I paid the money. Transaction occurred. I bought the ticket. That's not an issue of smachta at all. He doesn't see where there's no smachta in there. Someone says the transaction just happened. This ticket may end up being worth $5 million. Good investment. It may end up being worth nothing. Bad investment. It's an investment. That's all it is. When you buy a lottery ticket. So I heard one of the great Spartan posters said that Spartans can't buy lottery tickets. as soon as he's referring to Avadi, he says, it's a completely terrible mistake. It's not true. They can't buy lottery tickets. It's interesting. Avadi, as a Sabahata, wanted to say, well, you know, one of the things we say is that if they don't see Yishuv Shalom, when you buy lottery tickets, you're supporting the, you know, the government can run programs and give money to good things, and, you know, maybe that Tafi is also Yishuv Shalom. Rav Shlomo says, even though I think it's Usher, even though I think it's Mutter, but, you know, maybe in Israel they have to be Shiva Shalom, where does this money go? It's all the Chiloni schools and all the Chiloni this, and it should be, and you're supporting all these guys, so it's a terrible thing, and we shouldn't support it. But, yeah, all your tax money is going there anyway, so it doesn't really make a difference. So you can buy the lottery tickets. But Shimon also says, and this I found like as a wild swara, that he says, if you have no shaykhus with the other people that are involved, it's not a problem of a snafta. When you have no kesher, you don't even know who the other people are, this would be huge for online gambling, right? If he really held it. But you get the impression, it could be different coups, and like this is just thrown in at the end, you get the impression that his real coup is the fact that he doesn't think it's a snafta in the first place. Because if it's, you know, if you have no shaykhus, then you have to fantasy sports also, right? You have no shackles with the other people, and you don't even know who they are. You're just on some online fantasy league, and something to that you think might be most. I would not rely on that kula alone. People say, my Chavrus said he had a Talmud who was very involved in a fantasy league, and the kid said, look, we only do it for fun, you know, we're not doing it for the money. He said, if you're really only doing it for fun, send that email to everyone in your league that the money from this year is going to Tzedakah, this and this to Tzedakah. And it's perfectly fine, and it's worth it. He said, the kid did it, and he gave all the money to Tzedakah, and they still had just as much fun. So if you can find a group of tzaddikim that wants to do it, that wants to play in the league like that, I'm sure you can find, you know, some people, go to Mecca Rufus, sure he gives the same cheer. I'm sure you'll find someone who will agree to do it. People aren't making big, I hope people aren't relying on that income from their fantasy leagues. So most of the people I know that are involved with it are not pulling it, raking in the money. So you can have all the fun you want. Just say at the end, you know, we'll decide who wins, and then at the end, we'll split it all up. When it comes to the raffles, as I said before, besides for the kula that it's for a mitzvah, there are other kulas with raffles as well. Because by a raffle, you're not actually taking the money. Someone had previously donated the prize. That prize has been given. You're then giving the money to the organization, but you're not taking the other people's money, you're taking the prize that has nothing to do. The other people's money didn't even go to buy that prize. The prize was donated by somebody else. Right? That's generally the way a raffle works, that's the way our raffles work in the Mosheh Shabbos. And anyway, it's for Tzedakah. Right? So that's why 100% works. There's nothing to even talk about. That's one of the stories the Kulas have. The Postman have other stories for a raffle as well. Just to close with some language from the Akronim, I close with the Aruch HaShulchan. That was my favorite one of all of them. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that when he talks about gambling in general, source number 23, he says, I will have spoken to the Stephen Unshan Rat, their punishment is great, the Babel of Stephen Harabim, Nispashta Negat Sarat Hazed of Eth Israel. In our terrible Avedos, this horrible, leprous disease has spread throughout Kali Israel. Everyone shall also be a native cop. Woe unto us that this has happened to us. And believe me, from first-hand experience, what I see, unfortunately, with kids nowadays, Everyone, the Kamamine Avedos Tulias possess. And then the Hobbies Negevashi tonight, Umi should be a cult of the Vatla, anyone who has the ability to stop it on any level, Skaro Maruba Miyod, we've got a great start to doing so.